Okay,
well, let's see what's friendly anyway, okay?
There's two of them, and they
stay
the exact same spot both times, but I'm sorry, like I say that.
Oh, my God, I hope that's a plane. Oh, Jesus, please be a plane. Oh, please.
Marlisa,
are you ready for this?
My cameraman said, what the hell is that midway across the Hudson River? It was a perfectly circular hit.
For the first time in our history, we're studying something that's studying us.
Nobody told me that it tastes like this.
Suddenly, something else flew into the frame. Fired a beam of light that struck the dummy warhead, doing a circle, if you can imagine, circling our warhead. Fired another beam of light at it, which struck the warhead.
The Virtually Strange Network presents Strange Days Indeed, your premier source for UFO information, with your host, Errol Bruce Knapp.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to edition 419 of Strange Days Indeed, the program that observes and reports on the phenomena that surround one of the greatest mysteries that humanity has ever faced, UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Tonight, Dave Frelott with his take on it, and part one of an interview that we did with the late Kenny Young. And he played us some amazing audio clips of the Trumbull County police chase of UFOs. That's at the bottom of this hour and into the bottom of the next hour. And taking us home tonight, live from his home in Alabama, Alfred Lemberg will join us. These are strange days indeed. For instance, Brazilian researcher and publisher of a Revista UFO magazine, A.J. Gavard, whom we've had on this program several times and has told us some pretty amazing things that are happening in Brazil, told UFO Updates readers yesterday that a countdown to an official and open contact with ETs could be in progress. According to AJ, it seems Jan van Ellem, a Brazilian prominent author and lecturer on ufology and spirituality, says that several ET races are coming to Earth for an official and open contact with the human race. The meeting could take place any time between now and April 30th next year. And apparently, many members of the Brazilian UFO community are in countdown mode, waiting for the possible arrival. Jan van Ellem is the literary pseudonym of the executive Rogério de Almeida Freitas from Rio Grande do Norte, one of the states of the Brazilian northeast region. He's published 15 books and has given over 200 lectures a year, and van Ellem is regarded as one of the most serious and reliable sources in the vast segment of spirituality in Brazil. He's also recognized as a major businessman and represents several European tourism companies in Brazil. He started in ufology in his 20s as a prolific field investigator who used to cooperate with Irina Granchi, Brazil's UFO pioneer, and the late American writer Bob Pratt, whom we tried several times to have on this program, and unfortunately he passed before we got the opportunity to do so. Freitas had a very close encounter with aliens back on November 18th in 1999 in Natal, the capital city of Rio Grande do Norte, at night at the Ocean Palace Hotel, just after a meeting between technicians from NASA, the European Space Agency, and the Brazilian Space Agency at that hotel. It was then, he claims, that he was told that contact between the human race and other species would happen in 7 years from that date. And as of March this year, he claims that he was contacted again and was given the information that the contact will happen any time from November 16th, that's 2 days ago, to April 30th, next year. The clock is ticking for him. He was also given specifics of such a meeting. It will involve many huge spacecraft that will be seen by everybody all over the world. The sightings will last only a couple of hours, and the ETs will not perform any direct contact with governments, but only with selected people here and there. Freitas also claims that the UFOs will be seen and largely registered by media in such a way that the sightings will be undeniable by any means. They will go away after a few hours, but will be back after some months and repeat it all over until we're prepared for their landing. Yeah, it's one of those stories you want to go, yeah, right. But apparently this man, well-respected down there in Brazil by his fellow UFO researchers and a well-respected pillar of his community. Well, I guess between now and April we shall find out, won't we? And Julian, who's driving News Talk 1010 CFRB in Toronto, and I both hope that some of the people that they visit when they arrive is us. This world is just becoming a stranger place, and that's without UFOs. And add them into the mix in the next 6 months, and it's going to be pretty damn peculiar. An unidentified flying object spotted in the Algarve over the weekend in Portugal, no less than three times in one night. Miguel Horta and Noel Rodriguez, two friends and residents of Altura in Castro Marim, claim to have spotted a rotating object emanating blue and red light over their backyards. Miguel Horta, a 29-year-old receptionist, was leaving his house to go back to work when he saw an object in the sky hovering over his backyard. He said it was traveling at a great speed and then suddenly slowed down and hovered. It gave off red and blue light as it rotated, he said. Earlier that evening, his friend Noel, a lifeguard from the same area, had shown him a picture of a strange object he had seen from his balcony. Miguel immediately called Noel to describe what he'd just seen. Intrigued by the sightings, Noel decided to stay up into the early hours of the night, hoping to get a photo of the mysterious object. And guess what? At 2 a.m., the lights appeared again, and Noel captured an image of an object that looks eerily similar to what is now termed a flying saucer. An hour and 45 minutes later, it appeared for a third time to the amazement of Noel, who later showed his photos to Miguel. They both knew that what they saw was a foreign and strange object. The sighting is the second in the Algarve in the last 3 months. In September, a holidaymaker registered several sightings from September 8th until September 15th while staying at the Vale de Lobo or Vale de Lobo Resort. Strange days, eh, Maria?
These are strange days indeed on UFO News Radio. Here with his take on it is Dave Furlock.
A post has shown up on the UFO updates list that has intrigued me. The title is Countdown to an Official and Open Contact with E.T. The post is about E.T.'s coming to Earth and basically introducing themselves. Prominent Brazilian author and lecturer Jan Val Ellum has come forward to tell us that sometime between November 16th, 2006, and April 30th, 2007, Earth will be hosting the arrival of several ET races. Their purpose, of course, will be to say hello, prove their existence, pick up some strawberry ice cream. I don't know. Nobody knows. Actually, that's not quite true. Jan Van Ellum supposedly knows. If you read the primary post of the thread, you will discover that Senor Ellum is a very well-recognized gentleman who is a businessman, a spiritualist, and involved in ufology. Matter of fact, Senor Ellum is not only studying ETs and reports of UFOs, a senior Ellum is in constant daily contact with ETs and has been doing so for the past two decades. However, Jan Van Ellum is actually not his real name. Jan Van Ellum is the literary pseudonym, in other words, the pen name, of the executive Rogério de Almeida Freitas. Now, Senor Freitas was made aware of the impending visit by ET races back on November the 18th, 1999, when he was managing the Ocean Palace Hotel, where a meeting of technicians from NASA, ESA, and the Brazilian Space Agency was taking place. He was contacted by ETs and told that in 7 years' time, a meeting between ET and Earthlings would take place. They updated him on this upcoming meeting this past March, and then told him that it would be sometime between November the 16th and April 30th. So, as far as he's concerned, the aliens are coming is going to be his battle cry until May the 1st of 2007. Oh, and before I forget, he even has the actual details of how this incredible meeting is going to take place. I quote, "It will involve many huge spacecraft that will be seen by everybody all over the world. The sighting will last only a couple of hours, and the ETs will not perform any direct contact with the governments, but only with selected people here and there." So in other words, don't expect them to land and say, "Take me to your leader." That's not going to happen. Instead, if I read it correctly, they're going to speak, and I use that term very loosely, with some selected people who are going to act as intermediaries with us and them. Oh, and he also goes on to say that they will go away after a few hours, but they're going to come back after some months and repeat it over and over until we're prepared for their landing. So there you have it. We don't have to worry about disclosure from government and military agencies. We don't have to worry about trying to find out the real truth about UFOs and ETs. It's going to be handed to us on a silver platter, according to Senior Freitas. So, everybody involved in ufology, get ready. We can relax now. We can just sit back and wait until the day comes when the spacecraft will come down and hover over our planet and let us know that what we have suspected all along is real. And that's all fine and good, except I have a couple of tiny little problems with all this good news. And the first problem is that it stretches the limits of my imagination. And being an author myself, I have a pretty dang good imagination. Now, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Tell me that you're in constant contact with extraterrestrials through the power of your mind, and you see visions and hear voices, etc., and I will tell you to your face that you are a liar. As much as I would love to believe that within the next 5.5 months we're going to see spaceships from other worlds announce their presence here on Earth by showing up for a few hours in some mass aerial display, it smells much the same as when the amazing Kreskin announced they would do something similar in the deserts of Nevada. I could be wrong, and Senior Freitas may in fact be legitimate. He could be telling the truth, and he may even believe he is telling us the truth, but I don't think so. I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm going to say today, November the 18th, 2006, that April 30th, 2007 is going to come and go, and there will be no mass display of alien ships coming here to prove they exist. The only viable reason that they could come here is to prove to all humans that Senior Freitas is actually telling us the truth. But then again, that's just my take on it.
Dave Furlott, every week at this time. Strange Days, indeed.
Strange Days, indeed, indeed. There's an odd echo around this program tonight. I mean, what are the odds, huh?
I would love to talk to the bookies of Vegas on that puppy.
We shall indeed see. A.J. Gavard seems fairly straight ahead, the publisher of Revista UFO down there in Brazil, who put the story out.
You got to give him credit. He put out the story, but he also stated they're neither supporting nor denying the situation. They're just reporting it.
Yes, but out of respect for the Freitas, they put it out because he wanted it put out. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next several months. You can come and talk to Dave Frelott and myself and Julian McNabb out there in Master Control anytime you want.
Yep, not a problem at all.
Good night, Dave. Thank you, sir.
Good night.
Good night. Back in the fall of 2000, we talked with the late Kenny Young about an amazing audio recording that he had lucked into from the 911 Emergency Services Center in Trumbull County, Ohio. The tape is the most amazing record of county police chasing UFOs. The interview is probably the most requested for rerun here on SDI. And so since there are many new listeners to the program since Kenny was on, tonight we're going to rerun the first part of program 100. Yeah, it was that far back. We're at, what, 419 right now. Back in those days, the program was 3 hours long, and we spent 2 hours with Kenny Young. So part one tonight, and we'll cliffhang you. So we encourage you to come back for the second part. So here's the interview and sound clips with and from the late Kenny Young. Our guest is employed as an info channel coordinator for the Telecommunications Board of Northern Kentucky, where his job duties include scheduling, graphic design, and audio-video production. He's a professional website designer and coordinator. He's the webmaster of a really fine, fine website, UFO Research Cincinnati. Was taking a look around there today. Very tasty. He's a writer, artist, musician, and photographer, educated at Southern Ohio College. He specializes in film, audio, and video production. A former PR director of the Tri-States Advocates for Scientific Knowledge. His research interest in the UFO topic, well, he's a reporter and public speaker. He's had articles published in the Unopened Files magazine and in Nexus magazine. And his investigations have been featured on the Sightings television series and the NBC two-hour special Confirmation. And reports on his work are carried by Associated Press. Joining us on the phone from his home in Cincinnati, Ohio, is UFO researcher and investigator Kenny Young. Kenny, good evening.
Good evening, Errol. It's my privilege to talk to you and to be on your show.
I've been after you for a long time on the phone and by email to come on our program, but you had a work conflict with our work night here on Strange Days Indeed, so it's good that you finally made it here.
Well, I'm happy to be here, and let me set the record straight here just a little bit. I'm actually a resident of Florence, Kentucky, which is just across the river from Cincinnati, Ohio. So I might say I live in Cincinnati and get away with it, but actually I'm across the river, so to speak.
I just assumed because it was UFO Cincinnati Research.
Well, when I moved, I just never bothered to change the name of the website, I guess.
And who would know unless you went on the radio and told,
there
you
go,
80,000 people.
Oh, no.
You know? Kenny, I've been aware of you for several years now, thanks to your excellent work in UFO research. And the first question often asked of guests on Strange Days Indeed is, what first got you interested in the UFO phenomena?
Well, Errol, I've been really fascinated by this intriguing subject probably since I was a small child. My first recall of taking interest in this subject was the UFO wave of 1973.
Mm-hmm.
I was a first grader, and there was UFOs literally sighted all around where I live. I'm sure you're familiar with the wave of 73.
Right.
A neighbor across the street came running over to our house in tears, saying that a UFO was sighted in her backyard. She said a big blue diamond. And I can recall being outside playing with my little Hot Wheel toys, only a first grader at the time, and how traumatic this incident was. Mm-hmm. And I was outside during this whole event. I saw nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I saw nothing whatsoever. So that was something that stuck with me. And of course, I went on to read the literature to start delving into UFO books, just picking one up from the school library. Mm-hmm. I would read Philip Glass's books, numerous books, to really further my interest. And probably around 1993, there was a controversial sighting here in the Cincinnati area of a UFO that was sighted over the Lebanon Correctional Institute.
Uh-huh.
It was in all the papers. It was on television. So that is something that kind of piqued my interest enough to where I started involving myself in researching the topic, and I really became involved in investigations with a videotape that was taken in 1994 in Claremont County, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Being involved in television production and so forth, in public access here in this area, I was kind of fortunate to be on hand when a videotape came our direction that was taken by a resident of Owensville, Ohio, that this person claimed was an unidentified flying object. So in analysis of that video, interviewing the witness, I put together a segment, a news segment, on the Claremont County recording is what we call it. And then from that point, I just went on to make other inquiries on other cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy the topic. It's really fascinating. It's nonstop controversy.
And by the look of your website, almost nonstop sightings in your area. And that's a slight exaggeration, but it's like every month there's one or two.
Well, that's something I never could figure out. The area around here, it's southern Ohio I'm concentrated in,
mm-hmm.
Northern Kentucky. We do seem to have a goodly deal of activity, I suppose you could say, from this area, you know, contrasting that with other parts of the country. Ohio is not really represented well when you look at the national statistics of, like California always is reported as the top UFO sighting location. But actually, I think Ohio is one of these little secrets we have here, because there's a lot of activity that goes on here, and a lot of it I think is very credible. Cases that involve people who report sightings to police offices.
Mm-hmm.
And if the listener would take the time to review some of the reports that I collect on the internet and I post on the internet,
mm-hmm.
they'll see a good majority of these are sightings that are reported to police offices.
I think that most of your fellow researchers would agree that the most intriguing case that you've been involved with was the 1994 Trumbull County police UFO chase.
Right. That case, I think, provides evidence of the reality of a situation that's ongoing. Does not establish any sort of catalyst behind the situation, such as it doesn't answer any questions as to where they're from. It simply demonstrates that there is a situation taking place in our skies. It does demonstrate the physical reality of a reported scenario involving unidentified flying objects.
In a world in which science is fairly skeptical about UFOs, citing lack of evidence, it seems to me that you managed to dig up some pretty interesting data during the course of your investigation of the Trumbull County sightings.
Right. When I kind of blundered upon the Trumbull County situation back in 1996, and I did so by accident, I placed a telephone call to a wrong phone number. In fact, I was initially researching an old case of Leonard Stringfield, a UFO researcher also from the Cincinnati area, passed away, I believe, in 95. But I was researching an old case of his which mentioned a Liberty Police Department that was basically a UFO sighting. So in trying to get the number for the Liberty Police Department, I was put in touch with the Liberty Township Police Department, which is actually a different location altogether in northern Ohio. And I began asking about the UFO sighting, and everybody there knew about it right away, which was not even the case I was initially concerned with. So they went on to give me this really remarkable story of a major incident, a flat-out disturbance that shook the whole township there, the area where this happened, back in 1994. Well, this was 96, and I'd never heard of this story before, and for that matter, as far as I know, no other researcher had either at the time.
I hadn't heard or read anything about it.
There was an interesting case that happened in Michigan involving those FAA tower operators, I believe it was,
mm-hmm.
and maybe a weather observer, and that was something that was in the same time frame. And that's the one that I think was very well known because it received some media attention. This situation, however, never was given any media attention. And at the 96th phase of the investigation, when I came upon the story, I could not acquire the tape simply because I lacked the date of event. I could not find out when this happened, so without that information, it was impossible for me to get the tapes. It wasn't until 98, 2 years after the initial phase of my investigation, where I was out of the blue contacted by a gentleman who works at the dispatch office in Trumbull County, Ohio, which is in northern Ohio, by the way, northeastern Ohio. This gentleman informed me, he said, I saw your report on the internet about Trumbull County. And he said, I was fascinated by this. He said, I simply could not believe this was true, that this happened in my county where I'm a dispatcher. I've never heard of this before. So reading the information, he felt compelled that there was really some grain of truth behind it, and he conducted his own investigation strictly as a private citizen in no official capacity. And he turned up a couple of leads that led him to a date of this event. And then he sat down one Saturday in the control center and reviewed some tapes, and he started coming across this stuff as it happened. He sent me a note that said he was just blown away by this when he started hearing these tapes. He said, watch the mail. He said, I'm going to send you a copy. So then when I sat down and listened, it's exactly as I expected, but I was still profoundly blown away by the drama that we hear on these tapes.
Mm.
So if you're ready, Errol, I'll let the drama unfold here.
Okay.
And I'll just hold my phone down to the speaker. I hope it sounds good.
Okay.
All righty.
County Dispatch, may I help you?
Yeah, did you get any reports or any object in the air about 15 minutes ago?
Somebody called in, but I really don't know what that would be.
It was very strange.
Okay.
Looked like a back end of like one of them fighter planes, you know, like a plane coming out the back.
Okay. Was it just like moving at a slow rate of speed?
It wasn't a slow rate, it was a fast rate, but it was coming down.
It was coming down?
Yeah.
Like straight down or at an angle?
Like an angle.
At an angle?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't real big in the back.
Okay.
The plane.
I'll tell you what, we'll check with the air base in Vienna and see if they have any report of anything in the area.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay, right. Bye-bye. 996, we have a report by CC, actually two calls in of a vehicle in the sky, unknown object above Sampson Drive. Have you noticed anything?
What's the location?
The area of Sampson Drive.
North or south?
Sir, he just advised in the air, in the sky. He didn't advise direction.
998.
998, go ahead.
Did he give you a description of the object?
Public service, sir. I'll give you further.
Okay.
What we just heard was a citizen advisement to a police office of a reported unidentified flying object.
Right.
So it's important to stress that, because later on in the debate about this issue, we're going to need to evaluate that again. So we're getting citizen reports to officialdom of a reported unidentified flying object. So at this point, the dispatcher, I believe, is going to place a call to what sounds like perhaps a supervisor, and maybe wakes up the gentleman to inform him about this. And you can also note her attitude about the situation, which is quite humorous.
County Dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls?
Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
Why not take a look? All right, we'll check it out.
You want me to call the air base and see if there's anything in the area?
We'll take a look.
I swear to God. You want to hear the call?
Come out there and choke you.
You want to hear the call? Wait a minute, I'm going to hear the call. Do you think I'm lying?
I believe you.
No, I swear to God, listen. Wait a minute. What's that?
Go ahead. Hey, unidentified flying object.
Here. Somebody called in, but I really don't know what that would be. I'm stroking the hell out of this guy. Was it moving in slow rate of speed? Did it dip directly down? I'm going to start to freaking panic. Hey. You guys got freaking UFOs over there?
Yeah, ask them if they got any fox in town.
Huh?
Ask them if fox is in town.
If Doc is in town?
Fox.
Spock? Oh, you mean like Generation Star Trek thing?
That's it.
Smart ass. I'll tell them they're forming the sequel, they're filming the sequel right here in Liberty. You let me know. Oh, shit, if you get abducted, who am I going to call? OSB?
He'll
beam Toby up. They'd spin his ass so fast out of that friggin' machine. I swear to God, this is our fourth or fifth call on it.
All right,
bye-bye.
993,
yeah. 998,
good. Yeah, I'll be in the area in about just 30 seconds here. One particular block it's going over, what area of the Sampson Road or drive?
Okay. Yeah. To our knowledge, we've had four different calls, and this particular one came over Sampson.
Okay, different areas on Sampson itself?
Yeah, they just said in the sky. That's all we have, in the sky.
Okay. Well, they're not in the area.
Out in the area, checking for an object in the sky. Copy at 30 after.
County dispatch, can I help you?
Yeah, I do. This is Stacy from 33. This is going to sound really dumb. I hear Liberty Police are in an area that I got a call about a little bit ago. A woman called, claimed she saw something in the sky.
Yeah, you called me a little while ago.
Okay. I hear they're out there and they've gotten other calls.
Yeah, we finally got one on it somewhere.
What the woman told me was on Sampson Drive, like midway in the block, there's a vacant lot or something.
I don't know. Hold on. I'll let you talk to the Liberty Dispatcher.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, dear. This is Stacy from 33.
Hi, Stacy. How are you?
I got one of your friends.
Did you really?
This woman was almost there.
Sorry.
She saw something. She told me that the area was like Sampson Drive. There's a vacant field midway through the block.
They're telling me this too, but it's probably some weather balloon or something. You know what I mean? They're checking the area, but I really, these UFO calls are getting out of hand.
I don't know what it is.
If it was, what the hell did they come to Liberty for? There's no intelligent life in Liberty. Come on now. We're telling everybody they're doing the sequel to what's that new Star Trek movie? Generations.
Blue is green, no noise.
No noise.
It was low flying and took off.
Oh, come on.
Fifth Avenue.
Are you serious? It's driving up Fifth Avenue Extension. Now, no, but.
Not driving, you're flying. It came down and just zooped over it with a big glowing object.
Well, we got four calls on it. The last guy said it was a fighter plane. So you tell me that I would do like a big news story on the water in Liberty and the effects on the people, because these people are clearly afflicted. But I appreciate the tip. I'll let them know some more on it. I dispatched it because God only knows, my luck, it would land here, abduct some people, and I would be in trouble for not dispatching.
I was impressed because I heard the way you dispatched it, and I said she's trying real hard not to break.
And I'm working with the biggest jokers on the force tonight, so it's real hard not to.
Lucky.
Well, if we do run into a UFO, I swear I will call you personally.
Okay?
We'll give you an exclusive. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
What we just heard was the reporter Stacy Adger from a Youngstown, Ohio television station, Channel 33.
Mm-hmm.
So this demonstrates for us that the media was privy to the story as it was transpiring.
And yet you didn't hear anything about it for 2 years.
Well, nobody did, because the story was never given to the public for consideration.
Mm.
It was simply dropped.
Okay, we'll go on, Kenny, if you will, please.
All righty.
County dispatch.
This is Liberty Police.
That's you, Wynn.
Pardon me?
Am I calling the Liberty Police?
What you need, ma'am?
I wonder, did you have anyone call you about a strange plane or airplane or something in the air?
Yeah, they're checking it out.
Yeah, I just saw it on Sampson Road.
Where?
On Sampson Drive.
Okay.
I was coming down Sampson Drive.
was almost, it looked like it was, I don't know what it was, if it was a flying saucer or what it was. It wasn't an airplane. It was not an airplane, and it was down awfully low.
Are you the same lady that called Channel 33?
No.
Okay.
You must have had calls, other calls in order, huh?
Yeah, not many, a couple.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
What did it look like, ma'am?
It was like a, almost like an iridescent color. It was like a bluish purple, you know. It was like a long streak. You know, like it had, it almost was like a, it had fire coming out of the back of it.
Okay.
You know, maybe it was, I don't know what it could have been if it was... It was an, I know it wasn't an airplane.
Okay, ma'am, I'll let them know.
All right.
All right, bye.
This is the segment where the police is dispatched into the area,
mm-hmm.
and they begin to exchange correspondence with the dispatch office about the situation.
From Trumbull County, Ohio.
998 to radio.
998, good.
Yeah, yeah. CC spot me, said it appeared to be hovering about 50 feet off the ground. Towards Fodham Hutchins. I'm going to be checking that area. It's supposed to be a large object with a lot of lights on it.
Sir, I have another report at Sampson Drive, and also we've been advised by caller to the media. Media informed us it was a red, it was a blue-green object hovering, no noise. It was in the area of Fifth Avenue Extension.
I'll go that. That Fifth Avenue Extension just came in.
This is just in now.
28.
And any good?
I see some lights. It's over one block from me. I'm going to try to get over there. I got to go down the street here. It's a large object, whatever it is.
996, are you in the area?
Interesting how the dispatcher's attitude has changed, and she's a little more serious about it now as the police are reporting that this thing is pretty darn large.
Exactly, and also the officers involved, their attitude swiftly changed very, very shortly.
Yeah.
If your listeners happen to catch the confirmation special on NBC, they would have seen the part where the police officer goes into the neighborhood and a massive light comes down from the sky, shuts his patrol car down, gets out of the car, and then he puts his hands to his eyes to try to peer up into there. That was a dramatized version of what actually transpired between the part that we heard last and what we're going to hear now. So at this time, he has advised the dispatch office of a red pulsating light that he says was gigantic. The dispatcher at the 911 center is going to now attempt to contact an FAA tower operator at the Youngstown Warren Regional Airport there in Trumbull County, Ohio.
Yes, sir. This is Ryan from Liberty Township Police Department in Youngstown, Ohio.
Yeah.
We have reported some flying object in our jurisdiction, in our area, above the Sampson Drive, Fifth Avenue Extension area. I could not give you any kind of traffic, you know, direction that would help you know that area. Do you know of anything that should be in our airspace this time, close to the ground?
Right.
This
now,
is not a prank phone call, I swear. You can call me back to verify.
Look at the radar scope, and I go 60 mile diameter of Youngstown, and there is nothing out there.
Oh, shit.
Not even anything up high.
We've got five accounts, five calls in on this.
Yeah.
Something's flying in our area, and it's low to the ground. Would you be able to monitor, like, a Cessna or something with a light on it?
Well,
radar?
With the radar.
With the radar, it depends on how high it is and where they are. You know, if it's low radar coverage, so there isn't any.
Okay, now I have to go there and tell them something, and I don't want to say you couldn't find anything. Is there any, like, clause I might use that it might be, like, a personal aircraft or something that might be used at night or something?
Could be. Could be, you know, it just could be anything. As far as, you know, any kind of helicopter traffic or anything down low, they don't have any kind of requirements to
unless
they're coming into the airport here.
Okay, so you have no communications with helicopters? It could be something like that?
Yeah, it could be a helicopter.
Okay.
The helicopter's particularly flying low.
All right, I'm buying this 100%. But
are you, you know, is that location anywhere near a hospital?
We are close to a hospital, but the location is away from, as low as they said it was to the ground, it would be approximately 5 miles away from the hospital.
Yeah.
We're closer to, that end of town is closer, like, out towards the Vienna line, Vienna Air Base area, and that's what I thought maybe it was related to.
Yeah, we haven't had, anything going on, you know, nothing come from that direction.
Okay.
Then
I'm going to okay.
Just go out here northbound, climbed up high, and nothing's going on around here.
Okay, I am going to advise you of this. You could take it and file it in your G and in your garbage can if you want to. We've got accounts of this. At this time, I've had 4 to 6 calls come in about a lit object, well-lit object, blue-green lights, hovering above the area of Sampson Drive and Fifth Avenue. The object was low to the ground, did not make any noise, hovered there for some time, and then continued moving down the Fifth Avenue extension road. My unit was out. He caught something he thought was red. Somebody described it as the end of a fighter pilot plane. I don't know what the hell kind of lines of continuum they're drawing here. I don't see any, but this is what I was advised of, so I wanted to call.
Okay, well, yeah, we don't, I have a, if I was downstairs in the radar room, I would have a finder with some phone numbers. We have some 800 numbers as far as, you know, identified flying object reports and things like that. If you wish, you can call, you know, during business hours.
Like I said, I don't know.
I don't see anything out there, nothing on the radar scope. I haven't seen anything, and, you know, we don't really do anything with the information.
Okay. I thought I'd pass along in case somebody was maybe flying without permission, and, you know, night flying or something like that. I didn't know what was going on, but as long as I've done my job passing it along, and I don't want to sound like a crackpot, but that's what we've got in so far. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
That segment we just heard is really interesting. What we seem to hear is a very disinterested FAA tower controller. And I often like to speculate that had that been me in the tower working that position, I would have been dreadfully curious for details.
Yeah, he was very noncommittal about it all.
And I did try through various means, including even a Freedom of Information Act request to that facility. I tried to identify this gentleman who we heard. I couldn't. I mean, there's just simply dead ends everywhere in trying to do this. This air base, and it's a joint facility. It's partly civilian. The other part is military. So it's one controller on duty during the night. And we're going to hear more from this gentleman later as the drama progresses. Initially, he said he had nothing on radar.
Right.
And then he ventured the question to the dispatcher, are you near a hospital? And the reason, perhaps, that he was offering that question was to candidly maybe suggest this could be a life flight helicopter. Now, my question is, if he was going to suggest this, why couldn't he see this on his radar, and why did he even ask?
I think that there are experts who would say that the radar only comes down to a certain level.
Well, I've heard that also, but we did a program here in Cincinnati called UFO Update Live. The producer was Bob Leibold. A couple of years ago, we interviewed a gentleman. He's an air tower controller at the Greater Cincinnati International Airport. He was describing radar and some of its features, and most radar, according to this gentleman, can go down so low that they even pick up truck traffic off of the interstate.
Oh, really?
So now we have to keep this in mind when we're dealing with the scenarios here. They can go down low. It's not necessarily a situation where there's a blind area. I guess circumstances could, you know, maybe dictate if trees are in the way or something like that. At any rate, we're still speculating. He offers the suggestion, it seems to be, this could be a helicopter maybe, but then he, at the same time, says he has nothing on radar.
And then he offers up some 800 numbers for to call UFO researchers and make a report.
Let me just set the stage for this sequence. After we hear a little bit of police traffic on the radio, we're going to hear a conversation. And this was something that was recorded on multi-track tapes. It records different channels of information on a tape. And the gentleman who produced the tape arranged it so that we could hear various channels. So we're going to hear a little bit here from the point where the police officer is reflecting upon what happened.
998 to radio.
998,
good. I'm going to quit. I don't see anything right now. What I saw, I have no idea what I saw. It just might have been just a light up in the sky. I don't know. Be in service.
Copy.
925.
925, good.
James Road and Sampson Drive out in Liberty.
Yes, ma'am.
I wonder if I heard on the scanner where they were looking for that big blue.
Right, ma'am.
Yeah, did they find anything yet?
Not yet. The dispatcher for Liberty Townships right now, she's speaking with the air base to see if they have possibly something in the area at this time.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I heard on scanner. I thought it was running flying saucers since it wasn't very far from the ground.
Well, that's why she contacted them in case it would be a little
bit of a in on that.
I beg your pardon?
Did they call the news on that?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I thought I heard in the scanner that they did. But they think it might be from the air.
And you ain't heard nothing yet on the Trumbull County police chase of UFOs back in 1996. Part two is just amazing, and we use a little tiny clip of that recording in the collage, the montage, the opening of Strange Days Indeed. Oh, please let it be a plane. Oh, please let it be a plane. I ain't ready for this. And you have that to look forward to next Saturday night. Every couple of weeks, we head down to Alabama. There's a man down there who has an interesting take, much like Dave Furlott, on much of the things that are happening on the UFO scene. Very talented man, an artist, a musician, and a poet. His name is Alfred Lemberg. That's Alfred playing guitar. Back there in the background from his home down there in Alabama, Alfred Lemberg joins us. Good evening, Alfred.
Good evening to you, Errol, and all the ships at sea and all of that.
Have you been, it's Thanksgiving down your way, isn't it? Is that
next week sometime.
Next week sometime.
Yeah, Thursday, the last Thursday of the month, I believe.
Ah, yes, excessive shopping. How are you feeling, Alfred?
Well, to a large part, my outrage at this evening's program is
caused by?
With all thanks to A.J. Givar, who is just apparently trying to, you know, keep us informed of what's going on down south of the south border. I appreciate that you keep us informed of things like that because, you know, generally I have a lot of respect for those folks who are doing down there and have a lot of appreciation for in many cases, the courage that they display in making the reports they do and keeping us all informed. But there is just something about this one that bothers me. And the reason that it bothers me is because it's another opportunity for the other, the alien, as it were, the extraterrestrial, to play cute with us. And that's always irritating. The fact that the gentleman, Jan Van
Elam, or Rodrigo Freitas.
Yeah. A European tour operator, I think I understood that correctly.
Among other things, yes.
Doesn't damn him itself, but I think what's really irritated me is that these ETs now are going to make themselves available visually for everyone and will, of course, then be undeniable. Then only selected individuals are going to be contacted as kind of intermediaries, And my experience is, you know, with what little appreciation of history that I might have, my experience is when you give an individual that kind of authority, it's generally perverted, and what we've got is turning these people into little tin gods to kind of lord it over the rest of us.
And what would happen if Alfred Lemberg was the fifth name on the list?
Well, I would have to still call myself as that kind of individual that I'm talking about, that, you know, I really don't think I could come forward, say, hey, you know, like I was contacted and here's the deal. I don't know. I mean, just who has that authorization, Errol? You know, why Billy Meyer? Why Alfred Lindberg? Why Errol Bruce Knapp?
I don't know until and if and when it happens. I guess we'll find out.
I would just think it would be in terms of, you know, they would be a little more egalitarian and wouldn't play to our weaknesses the way something like that would do.
They've been observing us for this long. They've seen what our weaknesses are. They're aliens. They can do whatever the hell they want.
No, they don't have to be cute. It's the cuteness of this that just really kind of bothers.
The man himself that A.J. Gavard has quoted and actually interviewed, if you want to read the whole piece, it's in tonight's news and information links on the program listing at virtuallystrange.net.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting that AJ would even bother, but at the same time, he was a close associate of Bob Pratt's, who was a well-respected man
mm-hmm.
in this field in North America. So
yep.
It's an odd one. Coming from the so-called alien channels or the Adamskis or any of those contactees back then, I would take it with a pinch of salt. Maybe I've taken it with a slight pinch of salt anyway, but I thought it was interesting that AJ would put the word out there in the first place, and then this man was a friend and associate of Bob Pratt's. So I don't know. Maybe he's gone off the deep end, too.
Well, I mean, he was careful, as I recall. Tonight's report, he was careful to say that he's just reporting.
I was talking about not AJ, but Elam or Freitas
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
whatever he goes by.
Well, it just bothers me. And I'm glad that, you know, like I stand shoulder to shoulder with Dave Frelott, who was apparently as offended as I was.
No, I just read it as a news item. I didn't know Dave was going to follow it up as well. And just another interesting synchronicity, I guess.
Except it's this kind of report that is just, you know, so startling and getting specific about dates. Okay, between November 16th and April 30th next year, you know, it's going to happen, folks. Get ready, you know, buckle up, fasten those seatbelt. Ah, jeez. Makes me want to hit somebody in the head with a board. But then you've got Bob Pratt, and apparently this guy is supposed to have some kind of respect going on, and, you know, who knows what to think, but bottom line, it's just too darned cute for me. I'm tired of the cuteness.
We will see just how droll and amusing and cute or real it really is by the end of April next year. Oh, just more stuff to look forward to, or not.
Suffice to say, I just think I'm going to be comfortable to let April 30th come and go with literally nothing happen and not be surprised. But
yep.
That's just my take on it.
Just your take.
Now, with regard to Kenny Young.
Yes.
Woof. Now, see, that's actually part of my outrage because, you know, we have things going on like that that demonstrate some real consistency and many people being involved, professional people being involved, people who are interested in keeping their jobs and don't want to play around on official phone lines involved. And then the angle of the disinterested FAA representative, the tower controller there, what was up with that guy? And I'm glad that the late Kenny Young was able to pick up on that and point that out to us and keep us surprised of that.
Yeah, he was overpaid and doing kinds of wacky weed, I guess, on his overnight boring shift and just couldn't be bothered to move his bum out of the chair and go check something.
Well, you know, listening to the fellow, he sounded very official, very dismissive, kind of there for the purpose of dismissal and trying to shut this thing down. When you listen to all the rest of it, and it is not possible to shut the thing down. There was some real craziness going on in Trumbull County in Ohio in, what was the year?
1994.
Oh, well, that just plugs in real nicely between Belgium and Illinois. because I'm looking at my famous all-timer cases that were along the same lines as this kind of case with multiple witnesses and radar and observation happening at the same time, that kind of thing in 1957, twice in 1965, once in 1967, once in 1968, once in 1975, 76. 90. Now you're saying 95. And in Illinois, a very closely neighboring state, USA, in the year 2000. Again, involving policemen. One thing I wanted to ask you, I can't remember whether it was Illinois or Trumbull County, but wasn't there some kind of difficulty with emotional problems occurring in some of these police witnesses later on?
Wasn't it St. Louis, Illinois, where they had that problem? I don't recall it, there being any emotional problems with the Trumbull County guys afterward. Although, who knows? Those recordings were buried and forgotten until Kenny stumbled across them accidentally. So who knows what transpired after all of that?
Do you know if Wendy Connors has these tapes on one of her compilations?
Funnily enough, while Julian and I were sitting in Master there, I was wondering to myself, I wonder if Wendy has a copy of the original, because Kenny provided me with a complete recording, you know, so I have that in digital form and would be very happy to let Wendy have a copy.
Hope she's listening and heard that.
I've got to phone her anyway in the next couple of days, so I will do that and ask her if she would like said copy. We are out of time, Alfred Lemberg.
Great. Suffering and most barred. Grugus of thought.
Yes. Well, go back to the painkillers, and I trust you won't need them for too much longer.
No, I hope so, buddy. Thanks
okay.
for the concern, and we'll see you next time, folks.
Get better. Good night, Alfred. And good night to all of you, no matter where you may be around this planet. Part two of Trumbull County next Saturday night, along with John Velez. Good night.
That's this week's edition of Strange Days Indeed, hosted and produced by Errol Bruce Knapp. The executive producer is Gene Mascardelli.